Our reading is taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning with the 7th verse. So Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We hear that phrase and expression so frequently in the Scriptures. It's 6 times in the New Testament alone. And it's certainly a teaching that permeates all of the Christian faith, and all of both Testaments, if you will. Jesus, interestingly enough here, takes a picture of maybe just a common everyday event in life, going to a wedding banquet or going to a meal, and uses the way people sit down and where they choose seats, uses that to teach us this much higher truth. And it's a lesson that, yes, it has something to do with how we sit down at a table, but it actually permeates all of our Christian faith and is something that that is necessary for us to understand in the entire realm of our relationship to God. The reason that this has to be taught to us and spoken to us so frequently, even here as Jesus is speaking, many of those listening are his disciples. The reason that this needs to be taught even to those who already follow Christ is this. This concept or teaching runs contrary to how we naturally think in this fallen world. We naturally tend to want to exalt ourselves. And you and I recognize that in our own lives in a variety of ways. It goes against how we normally approach things to want to look at other people as more important than ourselves. And it goes back really to the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden. The first sin, if you think of it, was man exalting himself, was man elevating himself above God and what God said. And really, therefore, you can say that pride, self-exaltation of man, pride, is the essence of all sin. And if you take every one of your sins, like I could do too, and really break them down and think of them in terms of our relationship to God and our fellow man, they all have that root problem in them, the exaltation of man in our own thinking. There are 2 great principles that you can use to navigate through the Scriptures that will guide you safely into all true Christian truth. And here they are. The first one is this, is the humbling of humanity. If you will, the minimizing of man. And the second is the glorification of God, the magnification of the divine. Those 2 principles, if you use them as you go through the Scriptures and as you look at Christian teachings, you will find that they safely guide you always in the way of truth. The more you take the spotlight off of people and put it onto God, the closer you will be to the truth of Scripture. The more brilliantly it has to shine on Christ when it is not shining on me. And so if you ever have a theological question that you need to answer, if you ever have a dilemma over some doctrinal issue, just take those 2 simple principles, the humiliation of man and the glorification of God, and it will guide you in the right place. Whether you're dealing with the doctrine of election, the doctrine of conversion, the doctrine of baptism, how to pray, repentance, how I should treat other people, how to approach somebody who's fallen into sin, the ministry, I don't care what it is, if you use those 2 guiding principles, you will find truth using them and applying them as God would have us do. Our Lord Jesus himself chose to take the path of humiliation in order to save us, in order to get you and me someday out of our graves. Yesterday in church, we sang an Advent hymn that's often used during Palm Sunday as well. And I love this line that says, "A helper just, he comes to thee, whose chariot is humility." And when you think of how Christ rode in to Jerusalem on the back of that humble beast on Palm Sunday, what a picture of his humiliation for us. And this was done as the way that God would save us. Many years ago, there was a theologian by the name of Martin Chemnitz who had a great way of picturing it. He said, in the same way that a fisherman takes a metal hook with a barb on it and dresses over it a worm, a lowly worm, in order to catch the fish and to pull it out of the water and kill it, so God has taken his divine nature and dressed it with the lowly human nature of Jesus Christ in order to catch the devil and pull him out of the water so he can no longer hurt us. God has hidden his victory over sin and death and the devil in the humble form of his servant, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he has chosen to hide his victory. And that's exactly how he operates with you in your own life and for me too, as a believer. He hides the victory over sin, death, and the devil in humility. When we come before God in all of our guilt and acknowledge that before him in true repentance, not just of some of our sins, but all of our sins, when we recognize and admit to him how steeped in sin we are and how helpless we are without him, when we take that path of humiliation, the path of repentance, there God hides the victory over sin, death, and the devil, bringing us his wonderful grace and forgiveness in Christ, dressing us with his righteousness, giving us the wonderful hope and promise of everlasting life in heaven. Think about how Jesus would have us approach the Holy Supper as we think about this holy week before us. As we approach the Lord's Supper, he would have us examine ourselves and demonstrate our humility through repentance. And in so doing, we properly receive his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, exalting us once again. And likewise, in our day-to-day lives with each other and people around us, self-denial, the path of humiliation, is like holding the cross of Christ in front of the world. It's like holding that cross up before others, because that's the path that Christ took to save us. And Scripture teaches us that this is the highest virtue that we can have, is the path of self-denial and humiliation. St. Paul connects your life and my life directly to the cross when he talks about how our Lord Jesus took on humble form to save us. And then he says, "Let this mind be also in you as it was in Christ Jesus." Thomas A. Kempis put it this way: "The more humble a man is in himself, and the more resigned he is toward God, so much the more prudent he will be in all things, and the more at peace." The great irony of the path of humiliation is that is where God brings his wonderful peace to us. You and I have benefited from the greatest act of self-denial that has ever existed. And someday in heaven, we will understand that the ultimate glorification of man that's coming for us in our bodies, the ultimate glorification of man has taken place, ironically, through the ultimate humiliation of the divine. Sola Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you have caused your beloved Son to take our nature upon himself, that he might give us the example of humility and suffer death upon the cross for our sins. Mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, that we may follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.